Last week's sermon was a pretty good sermon, but definitely a tough one to give. This week's sermon is probably just as hard to give as the last week's, and that's the way the Lord works. And He tells me what to give, and I give what He puts on my heart to give, even though it may offend some. And so I'm just going to caveat this week's sermon with the fact that this may offend some people. But it's not me trying to be offensive. It's not me trying to cause a stir or cause wreak and havoc. But we are talking about identity in Christ Jesus. That's the sermon series. And there are certain things in the scripture that this world just does not agree with. And honestly, I don't care. Because in the end, it's the Word of God, and I'm not going to go against Him. He is what He is, and He wrote what He wrote, and He created the way He created. And I know people are hurting, and I know they're going through stuff, and I know people have questions, and I know they don't understand fully their fallen nature, but I'm here to tell you that if you come to Christ Jesus, He will give you these answers. And a lot of times, they're answers you aren't going to like. Because we're the fallen, and He is the perfect. And so as I get into this, I want to say that many people have hated me for my stance on Scripture. I'm just about hard-headed enough not to bend or to budge on what the Word plainly has said. I do not waver because of the changing times. Perhaps this is a gift and a curse, my stubbornness. However, when it comes to the Word of God, it is definitely a gift. No matter how much pain it causes my flesh, no matter how my spirit will always rejoice in being in the Lord's Word and what His will is. I've lost friends, lost people in the church, lost relationships over my stance, over the biblical stance. But Jesus said, unless I am willing to hate my father and my mother, my brother, my sister, yes, even my own life, I cannot follow Him. I have to be willing to forsake the comfortable for the eternal. I believe this is what Paul is trying to say as he begins his letter to the Romans. In Romans 1 and verse 13 through 16, it says this, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have planned many a times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you. Just as I have among the other Gentiles, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. This is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentile. Let's pray. Father, as we begin to open your word and the wisdom contained within, I ask first that our eyes be turned to you. That regardless of how I feel, the truth will always be the truth because you are unchanging. You are ever steady. You have told us you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to be able to rely upon that steadiness, Lord, gives me hope. It gives me encouragement. It gives me strength to know that we will never be wrong when we stand in you and we stand for you and we stand in your word. So give us a hope to preach what is truth. Give us strength to stand for what is righteous and let us be blessed by continuing to give the word of God to all in need. In Jesus' name, amen. For the word of God is powerful. It is a double-edged sword. It can change lives. Do we believe that, church? Has it changed your life? Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian and you're watching or you're in here in the group, I'm going to tell you, if you didn't amen or in your heart or out loud, I'm going to tell you, you need to reevaluate your Christianity. For the word of God is powerful and should change who you are. In my own life, I have seen it heal the wounded, lift the downtrodden, and even change people's minds by today's society. And that's a powerful word. Let me tell you, I posted a lot of things on Facebook, but I don't think anybody's ever been changed by them. But I've seen lives changed by the power of the Word of God. doing this is by giving the full truth of the word. And because we have been talking about identity, I would be culpable of sin if I did not talk about human gender, beginning with what it says in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, and it says this. Then God said, that's important, because God said it. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and livestock and the animals and the creatures and the move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and every living creature that moves along the ground. And God said. That should be the end of the conversation. That's it. And God said. If you have a problem with that, then you need to take it up with God. Don't come argue with me about it, because I know where I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in the place that says, and God said. And God said he would make them male and female. So male and female, he made them. I love how God points this out. He makes a point of this. Why does God make a point of this? Why does he say, why didn't he just say, well, we created God in our image and let it alone? Well, because in God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge and all knowingness, knew that we would come to this place and in this time, and we would have these problems. And people would say, that's not really what God said, is it? Boy, what was the devil's argument to Eve? Did God really say that? I saw somebody on Facebook the other day who says, well, that's a pretty outdated way of looking at things. I said, oh, is it? I'm pretty sure God's not outdated. God doesn't get older. He doesn't get younger. God just is. He says, I am. He doesn't say I'm going to be. He doesn't say I was. He says what? He says I am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's important to understand how God created us. Because when God creates, he creates in the perfect order. See, God created in the perfect order and everything was in perfection until what? Until man broke it. We broke it. We made it wrong because we stood outside of God's will, because we stood outside of what God had created us to be, and that is in his image to worship him as male and as female. I love what it says in Proverbs 1, verse 8. So this is for some of you young folks out here that are listening or out there, because they're going to teach you a lot of different things. They're going to teach you the things that are in contrary to the word of God, and they're going to say, this is the real truth. In Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. See, back then, they taught the scripture. It was in their homes. It was in their daily recitations. They would go out and they would recite the word to each other on a daily basis. They were instructing their children by the word of God. For the Jewish life was not like the American life today, where many people show up to church and then they check out. They say, okay, I'm good to go. I put Jesus back in the pocket. I got my Jesus time in. I go out and live however I want. In the Jewish life, it was daily. It was all the time. And they taught their children this way so that they would know the word of God. And they would know God created them male and female in his image. What an amazing statement. And I'm going to tell you, there's some equality in that statement. It's not so bad to be created male and female. You know, God created us in equality to begin with. Genesis 2, verse 20. And so man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds of the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, there was no suitable helper that was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall asleep, into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took out one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. See, God created a suitable helper. There was equality in the beginning. You know, a lot of people say, you know, men and women, the reason why we want to show all of these non-gender things is because we want everybody to be equal. God already created them equal. Why are you trying? Look, somebody told me something very important one time. My father told me this. He said, don't fix what ain't broken. Why are we trying to fix God? That's awful prideful and arrogant to say, well, God, you must have got it wrong with me. I guarantee you he didn't. But there was equality in what it was. He created a suitable helper, one who would comment that they would be loved by one another. You know, when my kids were little, they aren't so little anymore, but when they were little, we used to move a lot in the military, two or three years. And every time we would move, we would usually move ourselves. Why? Because I always get a little extra cash when you move in the military. You move cheap, right? You move on the cheap, right? And that way you get a little extra cash in your pocket, right? That's just the way it is. You let somebody else move, you don't get any extra cash. Okay, when you move yourself, that's just a little secret. So if you're in the military, you're out there watching, I'm telling you, move yourself. Some people say the extra $200 or $300 ain't worth it. If you ever moved yourself, you've got to make that for your own, all right? But we moved a lot. And when my kids are little and I needed to lift the couch, I didn't say to my three-year-old daughter, hey, give me a hand, right? She would try. She'd get over there and give it all of her might, but she would never be able to lift that couch. Who did I ask? I asked my wife. Why? Because my wife is a suitable helper. The only time she's not is when we're hanging drywall on the ceiling. Then she's not a suitable helper anymore. The brokenness of man comes through. It's more like I'm not a suitable helper. God created them with equality in the image of God. That's why he said, I created them male and female. He didn't say, I created him male, and then sometime long later on, I made a female, and she's all right, but I really like this male guy. He didn't say that. He said, in my image, I created them, and male and female, I created them. He created them with some equality, but he also created them different. I know this seems like a common sense statement, right? But in the world today, it's not. He created us with specificity. He created us with different pieces and parts to do different things. He created us with different muscle masses. He created us with different mental structures. He created us with different emotional structures. Why? Because we're there to help one another. We are suitable to one another. We help to create a unified union in each other when we come together. When the two shall become one flesh, we come together and make a great team. That's why he created them different. When we go to raise our children, we make a good team. There are certain things that my wife is very good at with my kids. I should have said our kids. That was a horrible statement. With our kids. Son wasn't behaving well today, so they're my kids today. She's very good at loving on them and encouraging them and teaching them things, like how to garden and how to cook and those kind of things. Things I lack patience on. My wife is very good with. And I'm very good with other things that she doesn't really like to do. Like whooping them. I'm very good at whooping the kids, right? She said, this kid needs a whooping. I'm like, all right, I'm on it. Or teaching them how to change brakes in a car. Now, I'm not saying women can't change brakes, just in our relationship, that's who does the brake changes. We make a good team so that our children are well-rounded and disciplined. Because God created them male and female. He created them with specificity that it makes difference inside of what we do. God specified these genders and these roles on purpose. So that he said, look, when you're out here and you don't have the suitable helper, I've given you this suitable helper to fulfill what you need to accomplish upon the earth. This is the one I have given to you. Stop trying to break it. Stop trying to make it different than I made it. And I understand that in our brokenness, some folks struggle with that. But God understood the future. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11 and 12, it says this, nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man independent of woman. For a woman came from man, and so man also is born of woman. But everything comes from God. So if anybody thought I was going to get into a misogynistic sermon up here, you were wrong. But our roles did change after the fall. For everyone had a responsibility in breaking the world. And if you don't know the story, real quickly, you know, Satan came to the woman and he said to the woman, you know, hey, have you really experienced good life? They said, yeah, it's good life. And, oh, you can do it. No, I can't do that. I can just do this one thing. I can't eat or touch the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And the devil said, did God really say that? No, you can eat of that, for surely you will not die. And then she saw it was pleasing. And she took and she ate of the fruit, and it was good to eat. And there was man standing right next to woman going, well, she didn't die. Must be all right. And she gave it to him and he ate. And so Satan and woman and man all together had their responsibility within the fall. And so God assigned these punishments to each, which changed the roles. Within the fall, he said, look, it was going to be great. We were all, but look what you did. You done broke it. Now I got to set in line and order of things. In Genesis 3:16, to the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. Hey, that's y'all's fault. All right. You did it to yourself. I'm just saying. That's what the Bible says. It could have been good for y'all. But now it's not. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. And your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That word rule, I'm going to cover that. I cover that another time. That's what going deeper is for. We can go over what that means back there, but it ain't what you think it means. Not in a human sense, not in a fleshy sense. And then in Genesis 3:18-19, to the man, it said, it will produce the thorns, talking about the earth, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. From it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Death is our fault. We brought death into the world as men. We could have said, no, we're not going to eat of that fruit that God said not to do it. And instead we said, ooh, give me some of that. We could have taken responsibility for those God had given to us. And Adam failed in that, and I fail in that every time I sin against God. And so man brought death into the world. And now by the sweat of the brow, which we learned yesterday was pretty sweaty, we till the ground. We eat of the fruits. We planted a garden yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, I'm preaching about this tomorrow. And I suck, because now this sucks. As we're raking grass out of the garden and picking out and digging, and I'm breathing hard and realizing I'm out of shape. But in our differences, we still find God's image. For none are less, but we are different. We each bear God's image in our lives. So I want you to love that which God created within you. I want you to love the gender you were born into. I don't want you to worry about it, especially if you're younger. You got no time to worry about that. You just need to grow up. It isn't about what you do, but it is about how God created you. Find the joy that comes from embracing that very thing. And I know that you may feel awkward, and I know it may not feel right to you, but that's the difference between feelings and truth, is truth will always trump your feelings. And when we reside in that truth, we will find joy in the long run. That's the hard part about truth, is I have to reside there to find the joy. I can't play with it and then come out of it. I can't touch the edges of it and decide not to do it. I have to live within that truth to find the joy. But why? But why did God do this? Genesis 2, verses 18 through 24. Some of this is repetitive, but it's important. And God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. And so he made a helper suitable for him. And now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds of the sky. And he brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever man called each living creature was its name. So that man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And so the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took out one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to man. And the man said, 'This is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and his mother and united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God gave man help to govern, to settle the world, to be partners together in walking with God. Do you know Adam and Eve, they walked with God every day. They walked hand in hand with God every day. God came to man and woman, for they were in perfection. And in your perfection, you can be in the presence of God. Now, in our brokenness, we can't see God's face because it would surely destroy us. But in our perfection, we could walk hand in hand and see the face of God. See, God had created us, man and woman, to be partners in living in this world with God, to walk with and be in loving relationship, not just with God, but with each other, and to walk by God's statutes and to provision the earth. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every living creature that moves along the ground." That is God's command to us. That was one of the purposes we exist, was to create and to fill the earth with other little people. And then to rule over and subdue that earth. And then to worship the Lord our God and Him only. He gave us purpose. People's like, "What's my purpose in life?" I said, "Have you read the Bible?" I said, "No." I said, "That's a good place to start." Right in the beginning, he gives us purpose. To love each other and to fill the earth. To worship him and him alone. "For the two shall become one flesh." You can only do this when you're in God's will, by the way. If you choose whatever gender that you'd like to choose, it's hard to be in God's will and fulfill this statement. It's hard to be fulfilling what God has called you to be and do when you're standing outside of his will. And then you wonder why we've lost purpose in the world. Well, when we step outside of God's will and who he created us to be, of course we feel lost and without purpose. I'm going to tell you today, I don't feel lost and I don't feel without purpose. But today I'm standing in the will of God. And it's a wonderful place to be. And I've tried to embrace everything that he has created me to be. See, there is no other way to be in proper relationship with each other and with God. And I don't care what any minister tells anybody out there. If it ain't from this book, and it ain't word for word from this book, it don't mean hoo-ha. It's just a lie. It's rules made up by men, so that people will feel better. Well, I'm not here for your feelings. I'm here to give you a truth. And that truth will hurt sometimes. Look, it hurts me all the time. I'm reading through this stuff all the time, and I'm like, "Man, God, really? That's how I got to do that?" Well, I don't like that. God said, "I don't care." He said, "Give it time and you will." That's the wonderful thing about God and all his teachings. He says, "Give it time and you will." But he calls us to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. because each parent will have a role in this. Proverbs 6:20 and 21. My son, observe the commands of your father and do not forsake the teachings of your mother. Bind them continually to your heart and tie them around your neck. See, God created us that there would be these two parents, and each one would have its role or their role. And we would be there to teach our children and to raise our children, not just to raise them, but to give them the purpose of God. You know, I hate to tell you this, but it ain't the church's job to raise your kids. It ain't the school's job to raise your kids. It's your job to raise your kids. It's your job to teach them about God. Because I'm going to tell you, they could sit in here for this 30, 45 minutes and listen to me, but halftime they ain't paying attention. They could be down in children's church and they're learning some things, but I'm going to tell you, they're going to deprogram them 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 10 months a year. It's up to you. And if you need help, I'm always here to give help. The church will be there to give you help and to give you encouragement, but it's your responsibility. And then when one of them is missing from the equation, look, this is not a dig at single parents. I love single parents. I think you have the hardest job in the world. If you're listening today, you're a single parent. You have courage to do what it takes to raise your kids. But I'm going to tell you, you'll know it. Something's missing. It takes both to be in God's will. And in our brokenness, we've destroyed that thing. We've destroyed that institute of marriage. We've destroyed what it means to be a parent. We've destroyed what it is to be in the will of God. And now as we look out today, we see that it is now affecting our children. And it's affecting a whole generation. I'm telling you, when you live in his will, it is easier and you will find joy and peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with this stuff today, this is what he has called. And he says, I will counsel you through these things. I will bring peace upon your heart, but you gotta live the way I'm calling you to live. You're going to struggle with your flesh. Trust me. It doesn't matter what brokenness you have. It doesn't matter if you're a transgender. It doesn't matter if you're a homosexual. It doesn't matter if you're a drunk. It doesn't matter if you're just like me. And sometimes you yell and scream and you have rage fits and you suck at life. We all got our own problem. We got to fight in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, whenever I'm in my sin, I sure am not happy. Sure, it may bring instantaneous pleasure. Yell at that guy in the truck in front of you and call him an idiot because he doesn't know how to drive. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not alone. But it ain't in God's righteousness or his will. I immediately feel terrible about what I've done. I'm guilty. For that person, I don't know what's going on in their lives, and I just threw out the fact they were even a human being. I ain't the greatest driver in the world either. Thanks, I needed that encouragement in my sermon today. But in our brokenness, we have to fight the flesh. Romans 1, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts and their sexual impurities for the degradation of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and they served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And the world traded truth for the lie. Look, I'm not out here to say that gender dysphoria is not a thing. What I'm here to say is it's a broken state of human beings, and we in this country have come to a place where not only do we say, oh, that's not a mental disorder, but now we promote it. We promote being out of God's will, and we say how brave it is to live out there in your brokenness. How powerful a statement you're making living out in your brokenness. Look, it goes with any sin. I'm just having to be talking about gender today because God made them male and female. And yet now we're bragging about the brokenness of, we are worshiping the created thing instead of the creator. Paul had it spot on. But it's the same as any disorder. It's a person that needs to be loved and told the truth. It's a person that needs to be shown the truth of what God created them to be. However, this new trend is emerging, especially among young females in their teenage years. It's called peer contagion. It's actually contagious. The status of thinking, I must not be a girl, I must be a boy. And the devil is attacking them in a very essential and crucial part of their time as they're starting to enter puberty. As their bodies are changing, they become feeling weird and awkward, and things are happening. I'm going to try and keep this some PG-13 in here, but things are going on, and their bodies are changing, and they're becoming very different than the boys who don't seem to be changing at all. They just get to be taller. And so they're going online and they're looking at social media and they say, oh, if you feel this way, like you shouldn't be a girl, you should be taking these hormone blockers. You should be going out here and having surgeries and changing who you are because you just feel weird. Good God, can you imagine if every time a 12-year-old says, I felt weird, we change something about them? That'd be a weekly thing. I've raised 3 12-year-olds to 14-year-olds. And every day, we just argued with Saint the other day. He says, no, I love steak. 2 weeks ago, you hated steak. So you don't get no steak. Because I didn't make you none because you don't like it. Well, I do now. And yet we're calling on young male and female kids to make permanent changes to their bodies based on a feeling. Instead of the truth of the Word of God. How do we know in the year preceding 2012, there were 0.0001% of females who had gender dysphoria or associated with gender dysphoria? 2012 to 2016, we saw a slight uptick to 0.04% of females in that age group between 12 and 20. But from 2016 to 2018, two things happened. Number one, more young people started having mobile devices in their hands with 24/7 contact with people and social media. We saw social media explode through TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. 24/7, these young people are being inundated with thoughts and directions. And guess how many of those are godly? Less than 1%. And in America, we saw among young females being associated with gender dysphoria or being called transgender quadrupled in 2 years. Since 2018, it has quadrupled again. In the UK, where they're even more accepting of this, from 2016 to 2020, they saw a 4,400% increase in transgender identification in young females. This is what happens when we worship the created instead of the Creator. It happens when we listen to the world instead of the Word. It happens when we listen to men instead of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. If you continue to inundate yourself with somebody telling you, you can do this, you can do this, you can be this, you can be this, that is what you will listen to. It will destroy your thoughts about God. And yet we are being taught we have to accept this. I refuse to do so. There's some of my stubbornness coming out because the Word of God is clear. And Christians, we've got to start standing on that. And you know what? They're going to call us bigots. They're going to say we don't love people. We hate them because we disagree with them. See, that's what the world does now. That's what America does now. If you don't agree with me, you must hate me and you must be silenced. But God's word will not be silenced. And I'm here to tell you, we can make a difference in a young person's life. I'm going to, look, with them going out there, young people are getting these blockers, these hormone blockers, without even their parents knowing. In some states, it's legal for them to have surgery without their parents' consent. And yet we see in those who do have gender reassignment surgeries, they are 20 times greater to commit suicide than those who don't. And you're telling me this is something that's good for people? 20 times more likely to commit suicide. What we would have called a mutilation 20 years ago, we're calling acceptable today. Folks, we need to wake up. We need to stand on the Word of God. Because I'm here to tell you, you know, there's nothing. See, the problem, part of the problem is number one, children are introduced to sex way too young in their lives. Way too young. Second grade, some people are teaching sex education in schools. Second grade. I barely know how to put my shoes on the right feet in second grade, y'all. I'm still doing this, right? To know which one's left. I got to put it on. Okay, I'm good. But because we say boys like to play with dolls, we got to make sure we call them girls. Because a boy likes to wear pink, we have to call him a girl now. Look, I'm here to tell you, I'm picking on you so much today, bro. Hey, look, not his fault, right? Because he had to grow up with two sisters, right? So if you have brothers, be thankful as the young man that you have brothers. But if you had to grow up with sisters, Saint, that poor kid. I mean, he had to play with little Polly Pockets, right? Because the girls didn't want to play trucks, right? And then I'm going to just be honest. When he was about six, his favorite game in the world was Pretty Pretty Princess, okay? Put on the jewelry. Girls would put the makeup on him. He wasn't transgender. He had two sisters, right? I still call him my boy. That's my boy with his makeup on. Y'all leave him alone or I'm going to stomp a mud hole in you, right? But he had a father to encourage him through those things and not to make fun of him. But to lift him up, because he was still just a young man. He wasn't confused. He had sisters. And let's be honest, folks, we do a little too much of that in America. Gender role assignments, right? Well, you know what? I like to bake. You all got a problem with that? Meet in the parking lot after church. I'll show you what's up. I'll teach you how to bake and decorate a cake. I used to do that. I don't know why I quit, but I used to do it. I decorated cakes for all my graduating classes in tech school. Made me a hydraulic cake and a tire cake and some other cakes we aren't going to talk about. Made all the doll cakes for my daughters when they were young. Cool Barbie cakes with the big dresses and stuff. I'm okay with that. Does that make me less than a man? No. Just means I'm a man that likes to cook. And just because a girl likes to go out and play with trucks and change tires, that doesn't make her less of a woman. That just makes her different than you. Stop assigning actions to genders. That will solve half the problem. Let the kids be kids. Let them figure it out. None of my kids are allowed to date until they're 16. I'm poking girls away from my son. Right, because he's a good-looking boy, right? Now get out of here. 16. You still have a year. Get out of here. Right? Same with my girls. I had a young man show up, deliver flour to my daughter when she about cut her finger off. He didn't come back till she was 16. He was scared. He almost didn't come up there to begin with. So what do you want? I have flowers for Bree. Good. Get out of here. She ain't 16. Right? It was nice. I'll keep those in a jar. Beat feet. And both of my kids revel in who they are. All three of my kids revel in who they are. My son has no doubt that he's a man. My daughters have no doubt they're women. Even though sometimes they play with trucks and he played with dolls and with his sisters, they loved each other. And so they did what the other wants because, you know, we grew up on a farm and there was nobody else to play with. And you did what you had to do, and they allowed them to be children while they were children. And I talked to them about their genders when they were young. And I told my daughters, you're going to go through some changes. You're going to feel awkward. And then I said, now it's time for your mom to talk to you, you know? And then she said to son, you got to go through some changes. Here's your dad. Talk to him. And we talked about things. And they were well adjusted. That's why the children need their parents. And they need to stop being labeled with things. For Satan loves to attack what God has ordained. And God ordained them male and female. And when we live in that identity of who he created to me to be, man, what a beautiful moment that is. Because we have to be in God's will. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our sins. Heals all our diseases. Who redeems from life from the pit. And crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with the good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Being one with God's will. Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. And so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live lives as the Gentiles do. It is futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity as they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. And were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught that the regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds. Jesus reiterated the gender roles when talking about marriage. But in the beginning, Mark 6, 10, verse 6, but in the beginning God created them male and female. God's way will bring joy to your life. It will mean that you are going to have to fight a battle. I'm not saying that you're not out there and you're not fighting a battle today. What I'm saying is Jesus is the victory to that battle. And only in him is grace available. For that grace is what makes change possible. Romans 5, 20 through 6, verse 3. And the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin realigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I love what is going to happen here. Because Paul's a smart guy. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? That's a good argument to make, all right? Because I'm a smart aleck like that, right? All right, well, I sin a whole bunch, so my grace is a lot more than your grace is, right? That's me. That's part of my brokenness. But Paul says this. Paul says, by no means. He's yelling at him. That's exclamation point, okay? That's why I'm yelling at you. That's what, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How then can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Grace is possible for the change, but only if you die to the old self. You got to put away your flesh. You got to put away your sinful desires. You got to put away the things of this world. So when you think that you're a man, when you're a woman, you got to put that away. You got to say, I'm just a woman. Or when you're a man and you think you're a woman, you got to put that away and say, no, I'm a man. And it's okay to be a little feminine when you're a man. Doesn't make you less of a man. Just makes you different. Just makes you assigned roles to your gender, and that's the problem. You're allowing man to define you instead of allowing God to define you. And the opposite applies as well. Just because you're a certain way or like to do a certain thing does not make you something else. It just makes you different in God. He created you specifically to be who you are. And he created a helper to go along with you. We exist as this church then to love. For God called the broken, Luke 5, verse 31 through 32, and Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We're not here to beat people up, and if you're struggling with gender dysphoria, transgender, and you're out in there and you just have all these questions, and I just feel like this way, I'm here to tell you that's not who God created you to be, but I'm here to help you. For God created the male and female. He didn't create them non-binary. He didn't create them opposite. He created you to be who he made you to be. And in his love, he created you. And we are here to love you in that brokenness because I'm broken too. I'm different broken, but I'm still broken. And God wants us to be lifted in that brokenness, and it won't be instantaneous, but Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will, and where is it found? It's found in the Word. It's found in the Word. And I'm going to share this story with you, my friend Cheryl, on closing. Went a little long today, guys, but I don't care. My friend Cheryl, I met in California. I was stationed out there. Kind of spunky young girl. We were stationed together in the same unit. That was our deploying unit. Went out and back all the time. And back then, she asked a lot of questions about God. I had some faith. It was where I struggled in my faith the most, but I still had some resemblance of faith. And she'd ask me about it from time to time. And I kind of just give an answer. I never knew really where it was going. And some things happened to her in her life that weren't very nice. They were horrible. They were horrific. She was abused by men. And so in doing so, something clicked within her one day. And, you know, she wasn't transgender, but she was gay. She decided to live a gay lifestyle. She said, this must be who I was always created to be. That's why men mistreat me. And I remember getting a message from Cheryl out of the blue. It's when Facebook kind of started becoming popular. And I hadn't connected with all my people, but she friended me on Facebook, and she sent me a message. And she says, you know all that God stuff you talked about? You still believe in all that? And I kind of giggled because I'm like, I went from this weird, I don't know where I'm at in my faith, and I'm really struggling, to like, boom, I'm like at church at 7 in the morning every morning, you know, and I wasn't even a pastor, right? And the pastor was really annoyed at me because I'd always show up early on Sunday. He's like, I'm trying to get things ready, and all I want to do is ask him questions. And she's like, so, you know, I just kind of want to know about this, and I told her my story and my faith story and how I came to Christ and how our marriage had turned around after we had left California and we got back in with the church and all of these things. And she said, okay, great. I said, that was weird. And then she texted me, or she messaged me not long after that. She said, I just want you to know, I came to Christ. And that's no small part due to you and your faith that you lived And she said, you know what? I lived a homosexual lifestyle, but I've repented, and the Lord has destroyed that evilness in my life. But you know, in the end, it wasn't me. It was the word of God I spoke. In the end, it wasn't her ability to defeat anything. It was the word of God that has that power to change people. And even today, she'll tell you, I have to be in this all the time. I have to continue to renew my mind because it's easy to let the flesh back in. And I'm going to tell you that's true for everybody. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with today. If you're transgender, you're out there today, you're having some gender dysphoria, I'm telling you, this right here can refresh and renew your mind and your spirit. When you come close to Him, He will draw near to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your specificity in your word. That this isn't even a fight we should be having. That this isn't even a question we should be asking. Of all the things we can fight about in Scripture, of all of the things that are vague, like what is heaven going to be like? What is eternity going to be like? What is all of these things? You kind of left those things vague, Lord. I am so glad that certain things you have defined completely and purely and truly. Now we ask for the strength and the wisdom to stand on those things, Lord. To stand on that truth and that truth alone. For there's power in your word. Let that power speak forth from us, not only in our words, but in our actions, as we seek to love those who are broken before you today. As we seek to love those who are broken that we interact with on a daily basis, not to pour out condemnation upon them, but to just tell them the truth of the love of your word that can transform their brokenness into your wholeness through the power of Jesus Christ and His grace. It's in His name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to close with a quick invitation and let you know that Jesus loves you. You've heard my invitation. If you're in Christ Jesus today and you need prayer, I want to pray with you. If you're going to come forward, I'd ask Brian to be up front. He'll pray with you. If you want to go to the back, Rex will be back there. He'll pray with you. If you want to give your confession to the Lord Jesus, I encourage you to do that as well. For until we give that confession and we come under His obedience, it's all for naught, y'all. So come to Him today as we stand and we sing.